Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, we ask, how much more would you pay for a little extra legroom? Hi friends, welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom for the second day of our trends article for March. Today is the 14th, and I'm Naomi back again, leading the ups and downs of airplane improvements. So far, we've heard a few ups, but a few downs too. There are some positive sides to the improvements being made to aircraft cabins. However, there's a downside. Most of us can't afford to enjoy these improvements. With me in the studio today are a couple of frequent flyers who unfortunately don't have that elite status that allows for a business class flight every time. Welcome back, Ellen and Nathaniel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, do you still enjoy flying even though you're not in first class?
I actually enjoy flying a lot. I don't know if it's the thought that you're kind of leaving things behind and kind of going on a little break, but It's something I definitely look forward to.
Okay.
I do very much as well. I talked about how I enjoy airports yesterday. I do enjoy watching the movies as well. All of these things I think can make for a good experience, even if there are some things you kind of have to endure during the process.
Yeah. It's funny because I have a lot of friends who don't enjoy flying at all. I think it's interesting that even for those of us here in this room, we all like to fly, but it's still a challenge for us often to enjoy ourselves when the situation is so cramped, so crowded. There are so few perks in economy class these days. What exactly did we learn about yesterday?
Well, we learned about the fact that there are changes being made on airplanes now, but a lot of these changes are actually benefiting those who pay for the changes.
Right. So more legroom is provided, but only in parts of the plane. And sometimes that means that in the other parts, less legroom ends up happening. Because as we found out, you know, you try to rearrange an airplane cabin, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, that's true. And we need to understand that if you do give something here, you have to take something there. And I actually wonder, you know, you think about the people that have to work these flights as well. What's their comfort level like? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be good if customers were a little more understanding too as well.
That's true. So one of the things we did talk about was legroom, because this is number one on a lot of people's priority list, maybe right under price, we found out yesterday. We want to be able to feel our knees. But today we begin with the ultimate in legroom. Let's find out what it is as we begin our reading on page 23.
The ultimate in legroom is lying down. For international and some coast-to-coast domestic flights, airlines are adding seats that recline into beds. Now the cost of doing business for long-haul business class is fully flat seats, and we're seeing that across the board, Kirby said. After eliminating many economy class services, such as free food and free checked bags, some U.S. airlines are squeezing even more from coach, further reducing legroom as they install more chairs or yield the space to higher-paying customers. Everybody's upgrading their business-class cabins, but it's coming at the expense of coach, Brancatelli said.
Okay, friends, so we're on page 23, and we're just beginning at an actual continuation of our discussion on legroom. Who knew there was so much to talk about? But it's true, it is really important to a lot of us when it comes to flying. We want to be able to stretch out a bit. We want to be able to to wiggle and move about and not feel so trapped. And for me personally, I remember on my last flight, I was discussing it with my flight attendant, and I said, I'm sorry to complain, but I have bad knees. And she said, oh, I understand. You know, when your knee gets all stiff from being in one position for too long, it can be really painful. And so a lot of us have issues that make it difficult to fly with less legroom. So what is the ultimate solution to the legroom problem?
Well, according to this article, it is being able to lie down. And when you do lie down, basically, legroom is no longer an issue if you're able to just extend yourself like that and recline completely.
Wow. I can't imagine lying down on a flight. It sounds heavenly. And there are some airlines that are adding this option.
Right. Some international and some coast-to-coast domestic flights are adding this option into their cabins.
Okay, so coast-to-coast, that would be in the U.S.?
Right, so from California to New York. So within the United States, there are some flights.
Have you made that flight? How many hours is that?
I have. I believe it's about five and a half hours.
Okay, yeah. So most Canadian coast-to-coast flights would be something in that neighborhood, too, 6 hours maybe. And so that's quite a bit of time to be on a plane. And for those, they are offering seats that recline into beds.
Yeah, reclining, of course, just basically being to lean or lie back. So chairs recline. Really, if you have a bed that's from a chair, it's reclining completely, mm-hmm. laying down completely.
Actually, there are even some chairs called recliners.
That's right, yeah.
So they can kind of let you tilt backwards and kind of half lie down. Very comfortable. So if it reclined right into a bed, well, that would be very, very nice indeed. As we continue, we learn that Mary Kirby, the editor-in-chief of Airline Passenger Experience magazine that we heard from yesterday, is explaining why this is important.
Yeah, she explains, now the cost of doing business for a long-haul business class is fully flat seats.
Okay, let's just stop there.
Sure.
Long-haul flights.
Long-haul flights just means very long flights. So anything over probably about 6 hours is a long-haul flight.
Right, and then short haul would be those little flights, 2-3 hours. And of course, in those cases, it's not so important. But if you're going to do these around the world kind of flights, people feel like they need to offer this. Why?
Well, we are seeing that people want the comfort, but we're also seeing that Kirby says this is across the board. If your competitor does it, you really have to consider doing it as well. If you don't, you have to come up with something just as good, I would say. But across the board just means people and from all over the spectrum in airline companies are doing this.
Okay. I think it has to do with the fact that there's more and more international business happening, and people have to take these really long flights and then go to a meeting immediately after they land. I mean, if you've been awake for 24 hours traveling, you're not going to be in really good shape to do business, right?
Right, right. These flights are very stressful mm-hmm. on your body. Your body, it's not something that it goes through naturally. Mm. So, you know, these are definitely things that the airlines need to consider.
Right. And I actually think that's part of the reason why I started considering the sort of economy plus option as something worth investing in, because it actually makes my flight so much easier that when I land, I'm happier. I get over my jet lag faster. I can enjoy my time with my family or friends more easily. And so to me, that's really worth a lot of money. You're actually upgrading your whole travel plans just by having a little more legroom or a slightly more comfortable option. So I can see why people would start to demand this more and more. But now we see the negative side of this.
Mm-hmm. After eliminating many economy class services, such as free food and free checked bags, which thankfully we do still have those things, some U.S. airlines are squeezing even more from coach.
Okay, so actually some planes don't. Right? And this is something that I've started to notice much more on, like, domestic flights within North America. No more free food, no more free checked bags. Mm. There are more and more limitations on those things, which I think is really unfortunate. So they've already made our travel experience a lot harder if we're in economy. But now something else is happening too.
Yeah, and they're further reducing legroom as they install more chairs or yield the space to higher paying customers. I don't think there's anything wrong with someone wanting to pay a little bit more, getting a little bit more room. But I do look at this diagram on the bottom of the page and I think, is it really necessary for us to put beds on an airplane? Just thinking about how much space that's going to take, how much it's going to detract from, even if they're not paying as much money, a big part of your market is maybe going to be a lot less satisfied.
Right, because even if we're paying less money than the people in that first class bed, we're still paying what we were paying 5 years ago, you know, or comparable prices for less space.
Right, so just because other people are paying more doesn't mean that you're paying less.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And everyone's upgrading. It says here, this is Joe Brancatelli, the business writer. He says, everyone's upgrading their business class cabins, but what?
But it's coming at the expense of coach, at the expense of economy class. Another way to say that, sometimes we say coach for economy class. They're paying more, not in terms of money, but in terms of comfort.
Good. If you do something at someone else's expense, what does that mean?
It means you're taking advantage. Basically, they aren't getting any benefits out of it.
Yeah, sometimes they're even paying for something that actually wasn't their fault or their problem in the first place. Okay, however, there are other perks coming along, and some of them might apply across the board within the plane to all classes. Let's learn more about them in our next reading beginning on line 24.
Tech for all. As people carry more mobile devices and expect to be constantly connected, airlines are adding wireless internet and standard power outlets in the seat to keep those devices functioning at 30,000 feet. For those off the clock, airlines are offering on-demand movies and television, usually for an extra charge. The good news is that many of the technology upgrades are available in coach too. All this in-flight entertainment and connectivity give the airlines the ability to distract passengers' brains from the pain of being in these ultra-snug seat pitches in economy class, Kirby said. Wi-Fi, in particular, is becoming a standard offering on mainline aircraft.
So there is not more legroom for everyone, but there is more tech, and that is something that I think is increasingly appealing to customers who are flying.
Right. As people carry more mobile devices and expect to be constantly connected, airlines are adding wireless internet and standard power outlets.
Okay, so there are two things actually involved here. It's true that more and more people have their smartphones and their iPads and whatever else. They want to be connected. I think it's a little strange when I get an email from someone from the air, but people want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so wireless internet is becoming a very almost expected maybe in that way, or it's starting to become that way. And these power outlets, I haven't seen a lot of that in planes so far, but I have seen USB ports on the back of a seat in front of me on planes.
That one for me is big, and actually maybe more so than the Wi-Fi, because I don't really mind not being able to send an email, but particularly if the entertainment on the plane is not so great, if my MP3 player runs out of battery, then I'm depressed. You know, it's nice to have some kind of distraction. So I think that that's a wise move. Or to be able to get work done, you don't want your laptop battery to run out. So I think those the power outlets are a great idea to keep your devices functioning. But what if you're off the clock, Ellen?
Well, for those off the clock, airlines are offering an on-demand movies and television. Usually, though, now for an extra charge.
Mm. Okay, what about off the clock? What does that mean?
Off the clock basically means you're not working. Mm. So when we get off of work, we'll say, oh, I'm off the clock.
Okay, so if you don't need to get work done or you don't need to be communicating, there's other options for you. There's ways to pass the time.
Right.
Now, there is good news here.
Yes, there is. The good news is that many of the technology upgrades are available in Coach, too, which makes sense. If you're going to offer wireless for business class or the front of the plane, most likely it could logistically be available or will be available for the back as well. So why not offer that perk?
Okay. So Coach, once again, goes along with economy or main cabin or the back of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So those things are often available on both sides of that magical curtain. All right. Now, we hear once again from Ms. Kirby. And what does she think about this, about these offerings?
Well, she says all this in-flight entertainment and connectivity give the airlines the ability to distract passengers' brains from the pain of being in these ultra-snug seat pitches.
In economy class. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so if you can be entertained, if you can, you know, email your friend, then what do you care if your knees are up in your armpits, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, I can be patient for 13 or 14 hours through a lot of things. And so far, it hasn't bothered me to that point that I really have a terrible, terrible flight because I do have some of these things that can keep me busy.
Okay. What is seat pitch, by the way?
A seat pitch is just kind of the rows. It's another way to say the rows in an airline, in airplane.
Okay, so it's actually the distance between every row and,
right,
like, how much space you actually have. So if it is very tight, then maybe if your brain is thinking about something else, then it doesn't really notice that your foot has fallen asleep and, you know, you'll be fine. Wi-Fi in particular, I'm kind of surprised by this, actually.
Is becoming a standard offering on mainline aircraft. So, like we said earlier, it's starting to be expected. A lot of people are starting to offer it. And it's not surprising based on all the things that we need it for.
Okay. I guess that's true. But even a couple of years ago, people still had big concerns about Wi-Fi signals and the plane navigation. And, you know, so I think this is quite a shift in the last couple of years that we're seeing more and more Wi-Fi on transportation of all kinds. I do think it's useful. And again, distracting sometimes, which can be good. But speaking of distracting people, there are some other options that are coming to a plane near you. Let's hear about the sensory shift in our final reading.
Sensory shift. In-cabin ambiance will be improving on many flights. For example, new workhorse Boeing 737 planes are likely to have the Boeing Sky interior, which evokes a greater sense of space. The interior has been ordered as an option on more than 90% of new planes. The Boeing Sky interior includes sophisticated LED color-changing lighting, along with new side panels and overhead bins. The interior is meant to make passengers feel calmer, connected, and more welcomed. A diffuser for the stress created by traffic en route to the airport, security line hassles, and boarding bungles.
So there is a sensory shift that is also happening inside airplanes. What is a sensory shift?
Well, it's kind of a change in your experience of something, especially if it's pertaining to one of your senses, your feeling, your seeing, your hearing, that kind of sensory experience in the flight.
Good. So we're talking about in-cabin ambiance, and we've covered that word before in Advanced. Ambiance is kind of the feeling inside a space, maybe the lighting, the mood, the music. It all sort of fits in. And when I think of in-cabin ambiance, I don't think of too much. I mean, usually it's either the lights are on or they're off. But here we're seeing that it will be improving on many flights.
Right. For example, on the Boeing 737, they have this thing called the Boeing Sky Interior, which evokes or creates a greater sense of space.
Okay, evokes, kind of also brings to mind or makes you feel something, right?
Right.
So if it feels bigger, then you don't notice that it's not really bigger.
Right.
All right, they describe this Boeing 737 as a workhorse.
Mm-hmm. As you see in your vocabulary focus, it says there that this is a kind of machine or a piece of equipment or a vehicle that you can trust to work well and that you can use to do a lot of work.
Okay, and there's a couple of photographs on page 22, so you have a bit of an idea of what it's like. It's kind of fancy. The interior has been ordered as an option on more than 90% of new planes, so it seems like people think it'll be popular. And this Boeing Sky interior, well, what does it do exactly?
Well, it includes sophisticated LED color-changing lighting. Along with new side panels and overhead bins.
So it changes colors, basically.
Yeah, basically with these lights, it could change colors. I don't know exactly what that might look like with these new side panels or overhead bins. I see down at the bottom of the diagram it says there might be more overhead storage. Maybe that's part of this design. I don't know.
Well, and from the pictures, it does look a little prettier. It doesn't look like the overhead storage is as obvious or as ugly, maybe, as it has looked in the past. So different colors, new panels. What is this all supposed to do, Ellen?
Well, it's meant to make passengers feel calmer, connected, and more welcome. So it's supposed to diffuse, or it's a diffuser for the stress created by traveling.
Okay, so it's supposed to make us feel relaxed. Again, create that sanctuary that we were talking about. If something is a diffuser, what does that mean?
Well, it kind of makes something less strong or just makes it weaker. If you diffuse something like light, it may not be as bright.
Okay, and so often we talk about someone needing to diffuse a situation where people are very tense and they need to sort of come in and say, it's okay, everyone just breathe, we'll figure it out. And I think a lot of people when they're traveling do get quite stressed. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think it can be, if you're inexperienced, it can be one of the most stressful experiences you could go through.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And people handle it in different ways, too. Some people are just naturally good travelers. It's not too hard for them. Maybe, like you said, they have more experience. Maybe they're just more laid-back people. But, you know, all those things that come up, they sort of go, oh, well, okay, whatever, we'll get there, you know. But other people, I mean, we have a list here in our article of the things that can really create panic with people.
Right. First of all, being traffic en route to the airport, traffic on the way to the airport, that might get you stressed. Of course, security line hassles. We've probably all had experiences going through security that might have been a little bit stressful.
Yes. I remember one time, this was when when iPhones and iPods were still fairly new, and I had my charger with me. And they kept being like, well, what is this? Do you have something like this? And what are you talking about? And I pulled it out. It was just my little wall charger, but it didn't look like anything they'd seen before. And so immediately they were like, what's going on here? What do you have? So kind of interesting. Security lines can slow you down. They can be frustrating. There can be miscommunication or misunderstandings. And of course, finally, boarding bungles.
Right. A boarding bungle is just a situation that hasn't been handled very well.
Okay. When it comes to boarding, we mean right. Getting on the plane, right?
Right. So, for example, if you're one of the last ones to get on the plane, you know, where are you going to put your luggage? You know, is there enough room in your seat?
Yes. And have you ever been the last one on a plane?
Thankfully, no.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah, I was once, and I saw the stares that I got as I walked on. Everyone thinking, are you slowing us down? Are you why we're still sitting here? Of course not. I was still on time. But I was one of the final people to board, and it was funny. Everyone kind of goes, why did it take you so long?
The worst is probably when they call your name across the entire airport.
Yes. Oh, no. Okay, well, flying and all of its challenges, you know, they are stressful for sure, no matter what. But it's interesting, in this article, we've been talking about economy class and business class. And we're seeing that there's a bit of a change here. There's sort of an in-between. But once upon a time, there was also a first class, which is actually separate from business class. And we have a little sidebar about that. Nathaniel, can you read it for us?
Yes, it says the end of first class. Business class is the next step up in overall amenities and, increasingly, the only other choice. Many airlines are eliminating traditional first class. Business class has become so elaborate, you don't need first class anymore, Brancatelli said.
Okay, good. So it used to be that there were three classes on many of the bigger planes. There would be the first class, which is really fancy, and then business class, which was sort of that step up, and then economy class for the rest of us. Mm. But now that's changing more and more.
Right. So as it mentions in this sidebar, now because business classes are getting more perks, they're getting more amenities, we don't really need that extra luxury or first class anymore.
Okay. And the first class that does exist is like really, really fancy.
Mm-hmm. For quite a while, I really thought that first class and business class were just different ways of saying the same thing. I didn't even know there was a distinction for quite a while because I always flew coach.
Right. And on many flights, there isn't, right? On many flights, there is only one higher class, and it might be called either one. But on the bigger airlines, you might find the business class has sort of a nice big recliner seat, more space, but the first class has like the sleepers, you know, and, you know, practically a little apartment up there. Mm. So there is a variety, but now first class might disappear altogether. I think there's going to be more and more of an emergence of that kind of in-between class that we were talking about on the first day.
Right. So we'll probably see more main cabin extra type classes and not just on American Airlines.
Mm-hmm. And again, I've already flown this before. I would recommend it if you're someone who's really suffering in economy class, maybe paying a little extra for a couple more inches, a little bit of priority boarding. It can make your experience better.
So based on how much money more that you have to pay for that kind of arrangement, mm-hmm. you think it's worth it? How much money are we really looking at there?
Well, it depends on the flight. But for a big, you know, trans-Pacific flight, it might cost just a couple hundred dollars extra. And you might pay that much for the extra baggage already. So maybe it's worth it, depending on your budget. Let us know what you think. Which class do you fly and why? Write to us, letters@studioclassroom.com, or find us on the web. And we'll see you next time for a new article. Until then, this is Naomi.
This is Ellen.
And this is Nathaniel.
Saying goodbye.
Bye. Bye.